Open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. I'll be reading just one verse. We'll turn to a couple of other scriptures. Page 1261 in your Scofield Bible. The 19th verse is the verse we'll read together. Philippians 4:19, page 1261 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And let's read together. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 37, please. And that's page 616 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the fourth verse once again, all together. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Turn now to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, page 1003 in your Scofield Bible. Matthew 6, the 33rd verse. Let's read it together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And let's pray. Father, we thank you. We have opportunity today to hear from thee. What could be more important in all of this world than to hear from our Maker, our God? And thou hast chosen our preacher to be thy messenger. And so we expect to hear from thee this morning through our preacher. Help our hearts to be hungry. Help our minds to be alert. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is now 11:43. Being Lord's Supper Day, we are about 15 minutes behind schedule, which means that I need to make the announcement that I'll always make and that I'll always keep. I will not be speaking past 12:10. You don't have to worry about how late we're going to be here. We may finish before 12:10, or may finish at 12:10, but not after 12:10. And then by 12:30, we will interrupt the baptismal service, and you'll be on your way baptizing the rest of the people after you're gone. Now then, I want you to listen carefully. Mrs. Hiles will not perhaps like this sermon because she does not enjoy a great deal being mentioned from the pulpit, and that's why I seldom do it. But I'm building this sermon. I warned her about the fact that this sermon is built a little bit, at least the initial part of it, is about her. But once I have finished that initial part, then she can enjoy the rest of the sermon, because I have no intention of continuing discussing her unless she causes a problem. I want to speak this morning on the subject, I have what I want. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I believe that the little philosophy that I'm going to give you, some of which I've given before, will not only enrich your life, but it could transform your life. When I was a boy, we lived at 1531 Exeter Street, in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. Half a block from us was what they call an interurban line, much like the train tracks that we have, the trains that go to Chicago. And on the side of the interurban or train tracks, there grew mustard greens. I grew to love mustard greens. I know the choice, that's all we had to eat. To this day, I'd rather have a batch of mustard greens or collard greens or turnip greens and the thickest steak in the best steakhouse in America. And if you hadn't, you're not a good Christian. But I'm not swinging it. And by the way, I'm that way. Though God gave us those mustard greens with tracks. And then he gave me a tremendous appetite for mustard greens, chocolate-covered mustard greens. Mother would send me to the store. We never could afford a pound of bacon. We were too poor for that. But on rare occasion, when we had a nickel, and a nickel was a lot of money for us in those days, my mother would send me down to the store and ask me to buy a nickel's worth of dry salt bacon. I'm not sure if that's even a part of our vocabulary today. Dry salt bacon was, I'm not sure how you made it. It was just a hunk of bacon and was very, very salty. Now, you wouldn't like dry salt bacon, but I grew to love dry salt bacon. We were in a restaurant in Europe and ordered some bacon. And they sent me the saltiest bacon I've eaten since I was a child. I never enjoyed bacon in my life as much as I enjoyed that salty, salty bacon. Because that which God provided for us years ago, occasionally, a little slab of dry salt bacon that we would slice ourselves, that taste is still with me. And I still have an appetite that God gave me for that which He gave me. I want to speak to you. Listen to me carefully. Father, bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear, please. Amen. Now to get Mrs. Howells out of the way as soon as possible. We flew from Chicago nonstop to Frankfurt, Germany. We had about 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours there in Frankfurt, Germany. Well, when, as you go, you lose time because they're 7 hours ahead of us over there. And so actually we lost the night. We left here. It was in the afternoon, and we flew through the night, but we lost the time. And it's a grueling thing because you get out of shelter as far as your sleep habits are concerned. And I recall Brother Colston took such a trip, and for weeks he couldn't sleep in church anymore. But we flew there, so we had time. And Mrs. Hiles, the last 2 or 3 years, we've gone twice. We've gone to the airport, and we've had 3 or 4 hours there. And she absolutely is exhausted, and she collapses. Well, we went to. I belong to the Red Carpet Club, which enables me to go to a special little room and where we can have a little more luxury and drink a cup of coffee or a beer or something like that, and sometimes a little bite to eat and comfortable chairs. Well, we went to the club there provided for us, and we were very comfortable. And Mrs. Hiles, how shall I word this, conked out, literally. Now, you know her as a very proper person. I do not know a more proper person than Beverly Hiles. If I were to ever take a picture of her as she was in that airport, she would give me any amount of money that she has for the negative of that picture. I wish I could describe. There's no way I can. Both of her feet were straight out. She was in a chair. Her shoulders were down about where your hips normally are. And her head was like that. And I never knew her mouth was as big as it is until you see her that. And the strangest noise is exiting her mouth. Pray that I can make it till our anniversary next month. Now, listen carefully. This sermon was outlined while she was sleeping and testifying there in the airport. She was a sight. I watched her, and this is what I said. Let me let you eavesdrop on my thoughts and some of the things I even spoke audibly, quietly. I said, she's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I wondered if everybody in the room was looking at her and saying, that woman is beautiful. Her tonsils are very attractive. And I asked myself, I wonder if everybody in the room realizes her beauty. To me, don't miss this, to me, beauty starts right there. I judge beauty by Mrs. Hyams. She is the criterion by which I decide what beauty is. She is as beautiful to me as she was 55 years ago when we were recording. I say beauty begins right there. Of course, we're both getting older, but Mrs. Hyams develops a wrinkle. To me, wrinkles are lovely. And there's nothing quite as ugly as you little smooth-skinned gals, if in fact, she has a wrinkle. Now, what happened? Why would I think that? Why wouldn't I think that some 25-year-old was the criterion for beauty? I fled to Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that does not mean that God supplies, if you have a need, and God fills that need. No, that means that God gives you the need. God gives you the appetite. And it so happens that I have a wife who is not as young as she once was, and so for me, beauty is in somebody who is not as young as they once were. I say, God supplies the appetite, and then God supplies the need. Now listen carefully to me. In Romans 8:28, we have, I'm going to digress just a bit, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now that does not mean that if you love God and are in the will of God, that God changes what's going to happen to you, and this is not new to you. God doesn't change what's going to happen to you because you love him and because you're in his will. God changes what he is going to accomplish with what was already going to happen to you. So God doesn't, if you say, oh, I love God and I'm in his will, now God's going to change everything to make it better. No, God's going to take what was going to happen anyway, and God's going to make that better and use it for his glory. Likewise, when the psalmist said in the 37th Psalm in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, that does not mean that God's going to give you anything that he was not already going to give you. God is going to give you an appetite for what he was going to give you anyway. Or God's going to give you an appetite for what you already have. Now, don't leave me now. God supplies the appetite, and then God supplies the fulfillment of that appetite and satisfies the appetite. So, Mrs. Hyams, is the satisfaction of the appetite that God has given this 73-year-old man. She's exactly what I want. She's exactly what I think beauty is. Why? Because God, she is mine, and God has given me a desire for that which he has given me. He knows my needs, and God provides my needs. In other words, God gives me what to want, and then God gives me what I want. So God creates the appetite in me for that which he has or is going to give me. So don't go around and say, oh, God, I love you. Now give me this and give me that. No, no. You say, God, what you've given me, you make me want what you've given me. Because God not only gives you what you have, but God gives you a desire for what you have. That's what being rich is. You've heard me say this in Bible studies. Being rich is when the wants and the haves are equal. In other words, if I don't want, and I don't know anything I want today. I don't know. My birthday's coming up, and I'll think of something between now and then. But I don't know what I want today. If you said, would you write down something you want, I would not know where to start, unless I would say, give me a mess of mustard greens. I don't know where I would start, because there's nothing that I want. So my haves and my wants are and have always been the same. So I'm wealthy. That means I know some poor folks who are rich. Because what they have and what they want equals. I know some rich folks who are poor. Because they want more than the wealth that they have. I made a statement to the fellows a while ago in my office. I said, dissatisfaction can never be satisfied. Hear me carefully. Dissatisfaction can never be satisfied. God does not fail a satisfaction to dissatisfied people. God gives satisfaction to spiritual people with what they have. I know some people, for example, who make $15,000 a year and make it. I know other people declaring bankruptcy at $50,000 a year. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you are dissatisfied with what you have, you will be dissatisfied with what you get. For dissatisfaction is a state of mind and a manner, a way of life, and not something that can be terminated by the acquisition of what you want. So if you are dissatisfied with what you have today, if you get that tomorrow, you'll be dissatisfied with what you have tomorrow. But there is a way, and I'll tell you what it is after a while, there is a way where you can be happy with what you have, and you will have a desire for what you have, and the same God that gave, by the way, did you know God knows what's best for you? So if God knows what's best for you, then God gives you what you need. Now there's a way that you can be pleased with that, and you'll want what you have. Let's go back to dry salt bacon. I sat there in a restaurant in Switzerland eating that salty bacon. You wouldn't have liked it. Except that's what I had as a boy, and God gave me an appetite for dry salt bacon. Wednesday night, I taught on the fruit basket. Remember that? They mentioned I don't like fruit. And went off to college to preach Thursday, and Brother Darrell Moore and Division 8 had a huge veggie basket for me on the pulpit. And in that veggie basket was some collard greens. And Mrs. Hiles cooked those collard greens last night. Brother, if they ever put me in the electric chair and say, you can have one meal before you die, give me a big old pot of collard greens, and I'll die as happy as can be and go to heaven eating what they'll serve when I get there. Now wait a minute. That's what I like. My taste has been given me by God. And God has given me a taste for that which He has given me. That's why you're not happy. You have not received from God a satisfaction with what God has given you. I said a while ago, I'd hate to bring it up again because I'm going to embarrass her again, but that's what I want. That little blonde on the front row, you little 25-year-old gals, you ugly as homemade sin. To me, beauty is sitting right here. Why? Because that's what I have. Now, it's not that I have said that I've got to make myself satisfied with what I've got. No, I've got to make myself satisfied. And that's what I've got, and I've got to be satisfied. No, sir. The God of heaven knew what I needed. He gave me what I needed and gave me a desire for what He gave me. Listen carefully. But you say, preacher, I don't have all I want. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I don't have all I want. Preacher, how can I get what I want? I go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now the word seek there, I checked the word seek in the Greek, it means explore. It means I'm to be looking for something to do for God. I'm to be exploring. What can I do for God? I've got to do something for God. And my Bible said, if you do that, God will give you an appetite for what He has given you. And the reason that you're not satisfied is your big desire is not to serve God. So, Matthew 6:31 says, take no thought of your need. Matthew 6:32 says, God knows your needs. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you, which means God will give you your haves and then make you want your haves. Did you hear what I said? God will give you your haves. No, for several years we didn't take vacations because God had given me the ears of America, and I felt like that I needed to go constantly to do what I could to save this nation for our young people. I spent 40 years going up and down the country trying to do what I could to stir revival fires and so forth. But back 20 years ago, we went one year to Hot Springs, Arkansas. We had $66. That's all we had. We had spent all of that, almost all of that, had another day left, had enough money for that. That's all we had. And you know, we were so thrilled to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. Now we're able to go somewhere else because we're older and because of Social Security and so forth. And that's what we want. But the honest, simple truth is, I've never had what I didn't want. I've never lived in a house where I wanted another house. Did you understand? I've never lived in a house where I wanted anything other than the house I have. Why? Because the Bible said, if you'll put God first and be searching for things to do for God, looking for something to do for God, God said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, He will give you a desire for what He's given you. Oh, I wish I could grab you and shake you good and hard and say, here's a way to live. You can be rich. You don't have to win the lottery to get rich. Don't want the lottery. Want what you got. And the way you want what you've got is to seek first the kingdom of God. So get busy for God. And He will make you want the place you live in. Listen carefully. You ladies are not satisfied with the place you have. When you get the one you want, you'll not be satisfied with the place you have. So when you get the next one you want, you'll not be satisfied with the place you have. The honest, simple truth is, the richest people in this room this morning may not have a dime in the bank because they don't necessarily want a dime in the bank. They want what they have, and their haves equal their wants. Now, I'm saying that God gives you your wants, and He gives you the wants for what you have. So, if you folks that never do a thing for God, forget this sermon. You probably not listen anyway, but forget this sermon. Won't do you any good. Forget it. Just forget it. But to those of you who are serving God, want to serve God, seeking ways to serve God, God said He will make you wealthy by you having all of your wants satisfied by what you have. That means get busy for God. He'll make you want the place you have. He'll make you want the car you drive. He'll make you want the wife you have. He'll make you want the husband you have. He'll make you want the clothes you have. He'll make you want the living conditions you have. So don't get busy and never. So if you don't get busy, then you will be dissatisfied. But being dissatisfied is a condition. I said again, being dissatisfied is a condition that cannot be satisfied. Hear me carefully. The only way you're ever going to have your wants fulfilled is to get busy for God. Because when you get busy for God, then God looks down and says, I will change your appetite for what you have. We drive a nice car, thanks to you. I'm sure that you have another one waiting for us this morning when the service is over. Take the place of the one that has grown so old in the last 12 months. But you provided us with a beautiful, nice Lincoln car, town car. But you know, when I drove a little Renault Dauphine, that's what I wanted. I used to drive a red Plymouth that you could look down and see the ground as I was driving to the airport. I know what the pavement's like on the toll road. And that's what I wanted. You know why? Because if I wanted something else, I would want something else when I got that. But what I want to do is serve God. What I want to do is seek first the kingdom of God. And God said, if I do that, then He will see to it, not that I get what I want. God knows if I get what I want because I'm dissatisfied, I won't be satisfied with what I get. He knows that. But God knows this. The way for me to get rich and happy and abundant, have an abundant life and be satisfied with life is when what I want equals what I have. So, what you have can be what you want. You will have no unfulfilled wants. You have fulfilled God's wants. Hear me carefully. I go back to Miss Hiles. She's going to leave me, but I go back to her. I go back to Miss Hiles again. She builds her life around trying to find out what I need. That's where she lives. Consequently, she has no needs. Every dress she has, I buy for her. She dresses nicely, but then she doesn't pick out an item for her. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that if you get busy trying to satisfy the needs of others, then your need will be to satisfy their needs. And you'll have no desire yourself. Are you listening to me? You'll have no desire yourself that's unfulfilled. Ms. House knows I hate this, and so does Cindy and Jack, all of them know it. Send me the list of things you want for Christmas. That's what some of you folks do. We order our Christmas gifts. This is what I want for Christmas. Don't you do that to me. That's one reason why I will not give you your silver that you register at Marshall Field for your lovely shower. I won't do it. I'm saying I have nothing to order because I have nothing to want. But I have learned if I will serve God and seek something to do for God. You people, all you do is sit in church an hour or two on Sunday, and that's the size of it when there's a world going to hell, and there are hungry folks to feed, and cold folks to clothe, and discouraged folks to encourage, and fallen folks to live, and lost folks to save. And there you sit with a world in need and do nothing. And you say, I don't know, I can't have this, and I want this, and I want that. You forget what you want and think about the needs of other people, and God will give you a desire for what you have, and you will be rich. There may have been in that airport in Frankfurt some prettier women, but not to me. There were some that were sitting more gracefully than she was. In fact, there were none sitting as little gracefully as she was. But to me, that's the way you're supposed to sit when you sleep. There were some making more attractive noises than she was. But to me, I'm not going to call it what you would call it. It's because I'm afraid to. But that nasal noise that comes while you lie on your back so easily while you sleep, let me say it beautifully, which sounds like a pig snorting in a pen. To me, it was like a symphony concert. You know why? Because she's mine. She's mine. And God, I've served Him through these years, and God has given to me a desire for what He gave me. So I want nothing. Nothing do I want. I'm rich. If this morning your salary is $500,000 a year, you can be as poor as Job's turkey, which means you got to lean up against the fence to gobble. You can be as poor as Job's turkey, or if your salary is $15,000 a year, you can be as rich as Bill Carnegie was, or Rockefeller was. Because wealth is when you want what you have. For the God that gave you what you have gives you a desire for what you have. It is 12:10. Would you bow your heads, please?